Some of New York City's most vulnerable children may be even more at risk following Sandy. They come from families already under stress due to poverty and other crises. And now add to that school disruptions, a lack of electricity and heat, even homelessness. Resource-strapped child welfare workers are now in the position of tracking down these vulnerable families to try to link them with services. Here to talk about how the city's Administration for Children's Services is functioning post-Sandy is Andrew White, director of Child Welfare Watch at the New School, which publishes a blog and issues policy reports. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
So what are you hearing from ACS? Are caseworkers able to get around and find families in damaged areas?
Yeah, I mean, the system is split between two parts. There's ACS with its child protective people, and then there's all the nonprofit agencies that the city funds to work with foster families and with, you know, preventive family support programs. And, you know, this is a big system. Foster care agencies are responsible for more than 13,000 foster kids in New York City. And then on top of that, you have family support agencies that are working with another 13,000 families at any given time. Plus, you have ACS and their child protective staff. So of these, there are a few thousand families in the Rockaways and in Red Hook and in Staten Island and on the Lower East Side who already had active cases before the hurricane hit. So they all had to be checked on. And it's fairly remarkable what we've, you know, in conversations with people, it sounds like they've been pretty successful at this. You know, they had to be checked on. Some of them have special medical needs and there was no power. You're talking about a system that's set up to respond to reports of abuse and neglect, but all of a sudden you have this situation where the potential for neglect is the result of no power, no heat, and no money. You know, how do you transition that system and just make contact with families? And it seems like at least at that level, things have been going pretty well.
What are the major risks post-Sandy for children and families who were already, you know, in tenuous circumstances?
Well, in normal times, I mean, the most common factors behind child neglect are deep poverty and isolation, depression, alcoholism, drug addiction, and domestic violence. So you imagine families that are already in stress dealing with those kinds of things. And the question is, does the hurricane and the loss of power pitch people over the edge? So if you imagine, you know, many of your listeners have already experienced now how incredibly stressful it is to go without power and heat for several days. I mean, it can completely upend your life. So if you have no money and if you don't have any income or a prospect of an income and you can't afford supplies and you don't have anyone to help take care of the kids, things can get pretty messy.
Have you heard of any uptick in reports of abuse or neglect since Sandy?
We haven't. I think it's too soon to know. I mean, it's actually entirely possible that in the short term there'd be a decline because fewer kids are in school, and that's where the most frequent reports come from, you know, teachers and others who see kids in school and call in a report. But I worry more about the impact of all this on young kids and young parents who are living isolated or without power or heat or who lost their homes. I mean, as long as volunteers and the community-based groups are working out on the streets and knocking on doors and talking to people, then you'll hear about families and they should be able to get help. But over time, you know, this begins to fade a bit and help isn't on the street, you begin to worry.
Has ACS been able to change the way they work to handle the additional needs of, you know, vulnerable families post the storm?
It looks like they have. And I think, I mean, especially I want to highlight the nonprofit organizations that are based in neighborhoods. They're very well placed to be out there connecting with families, particularly the families they already know. And that system is sort of naturally set up in a way to be able to respond. I mean, there's always the danger that you don't have an organization right in the neighborhood that gets hit the hardest. But it seems as though, combined with the volunteer groups, that part has worked. Longer term, it'll be really interesting to see whether ACS and Child Protective Services has been able to deal with this question of sort of what is neglect? Is neglect just when a parent does something to a kid or fails to take care of a kid? Or, I mean, how do we deal with the fact that neglect can result from a complete loss of a home or a loss of power or a loss of income?
All right. Well, something that we're going to be keeping an eye on. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thank you for having me.
Andrew White is director of Child Welfare Watch. You're listening to Morning Edition on WNYC.